Now, for those of you at home who are listening on the podcast, I do apologise. I realise I've just pressed record now. There's a lot of buttons that I have to fuck around with, and I do apologise for that one. So welcome to you on the podcast as well. Once again, Red Thunder, Honey Badger, Dad Knight, and The Probe joining you, just to wrap you in. We are, of course, going live on Twitter. That's why there's so many buttons to press. And I'm going to throw it over to our social media lounge, Brenton. Where exactly can you find us on social media?
Facebook.com/FromTheBackCavePodcast. Email us at FromTheBackCave.podcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at Twitter.com/FromBackCave. Or follow us on Twitch at Twitch.tv/FromTheBackCavePodcast.
You can indeed follow us there live. And in fact, if you do want to do that and you want to join in on the chat with the rest of us here, we do have a chat room. You've just got to go over to twitch.tv and sign up. And now I'm going to pass it over to the social media ambassador, the Honey Badger himself. Tell us what's happening in the chat.
Absolutely nothing is happening in the chat right now because we've just gone live. So basically, if you've got any questions, myself, Probe, and I'm pretty sure Dad Knight will be checking into the chat lounge.
I will be.
Excellent. So you've got 3 out of 4. That's 75%. Of the Just Us League.
Yeah, see, I would check into the lounge a bit more, but I got fucking banks and monitors I gotta keep my eyes on now. It's turning into a bloody ridiculous. Ridiculous, I say!
Your fault.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, it's always my fault. That's how the world seems to go, it seems. Anyway, gentlemen, how has the week treated us? Obviously, tonight, bit of a treat for you, for those of you on Twitch, those of you listening to the podcast, doesn't matter because you can check these out at your heart's content whenever you like. But it's a doubleheader tonight. Just like baseball, Major League, doubleheader. How do you feel going into this one, guys? Are you limbered up?
Bit of overtime, I'm keen.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah, yeah, you know what? We've all been prepping for a week. We're hydrated. We've hit our Red Bulls and our Monsters and our delicious velvety Coke vanilla as well, so our voice boxes are lubricating.
As long as catering holds up and there's like a dessert in between, too, I'll be fine.
Well, that's very true, but I wouldn't hold my breath out for that one. Now, it's been an interesting week, obviously. We're doing two films. Before we get into 37, we're going to do episode 30. Before we get to 38, we're going to do episode 37, which is this one right here, which we'll be talking about Superman 2, the theatrical cut. Obviously, the last podcast, we talked about the amazingness that was Richard Donner. Not gonna have that as much this week, I don't think, guys.
There's going to be a theme from me for this movie. And I am now erasing this theatrical trailer from my mind. After we do this, I'm done with it. It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Because you can't...
Well, no, save your reasons. Save your reasons.
There's going to be a burning disc episode, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Kind of like the Burning Man out at the festival out in the Nevada. Yeah. We'll have
quite possibly. There will also be a few other fun things to come tonight, which, for those of you on the podcast, I just want to let you know that if you do find that you want to watch what we're talking about, you can go to YouTube later on and we will have uploaded anything that we require from there, or anything you require, I should say. You'll be able to find our episodes live there. But there will be some visual things to come tonight, which I'm very looking forward to doing.
Mm.
But I guess before we really get into the meat, the potatoes...
Yes.
We need to start off with the entree, which, of course, is This Week on TV. So, gentlemen, are you ready to talk This Week on TV Retro?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
If we didn't have sound last week, there's your sound.
Well done.
Did you like that?
Smooth.
Did you like that?
Delicious.
Oh, come on.
It's delicious.
If you're going to do it right.
Best in the world.
It's just how I roll. The best. I'm the best around. Nothing will ever keep me down from that, right?
That's the one I was looking for.
Now, let's start it off. Back in the 60s with Batman.
Back in the 60s with Batman, we're going with episode 5, Joker is Wild. The story begins with Joker escaping through a prison ball game with a giant spring. Batman and Robin are called to help and work out that the Joker plans to strike them in revenge because he had not been entered into the Comedy Hall of Fame. The cat Joker is trying to steal diamonds and a fight breaks out. Batman uses a smoke pellet from his utility belt and Joker escapes. Joker decides to beat Batman by making his own utility belt. Batman and Robin track the Joker down to Gotham City Opera, where the dynamic duo are captured by the Joker, who moves in to unmask our heroes. Could this mean curtains? Will the identity of our dynamic duo be revealed to the whole world? Is this the end of their career as crime fighters? Can they avert disaster?
But the wait, the worst is yet to come.
Good times.
Wrapped up into a nice, neat little package.
You gotta admit, as far as breaking out of prison goes,
that's the way to do it. No hot air balloons, just launched.
Straight off of the wall!
Straight off of the wall!
With a massive spring sprung underneath them.
That was.
Well, there's only one man who can dare stop a criminal mastermind like this.
Because there's no one in this room or in the world that could handle the Conno Man.
No, we'll need to find somebody who wears tights.
Hang on, we need a phone that we can all look at.
That's it.
And we need to cross each other's paths. Hang on, we'll just do a quick take here. Gentlemen, can any of you, the men I entrust to protect this city, do this job?
No.
Nah.
Nah. Nah, fuck it.
Nah. Nah. I'm hungover.
Brave men, admitting you all have faults like that. Jesus. Good dialogue. I still love this shit.
The one redeeming factor I'm enjoying about this is
if you say Burt Ward, I'm going to punch you.
I want to say Burt Ward now just to upset
the car.
No, it's not the car. It's just the start, like the aesthetic of the 60s, the colours that they use, the way it's filmed. They're the winning factors for me.
Yeah.
I'm still yet to warm up to Adam West fully.
Cesar Romero is pretty amazing.
Actually,
and his refusal to shave his mustache, his trademark mustache, where he's like, just paint over it. I like, though, that idea that the Joker's so, like, bleached up and fucked up that, like, even his mustache grows white.
Yeah.
It works for me.
Yeah.
I can't even notice that he's got a mustache under that much paint.
Well, if you're watching High Def, you can.
Yeah, you gotta watch the Blu-ray, my friend.
Oh, okay.
You gotta watch that.
Well, you gotta watch Terry's Italian cuts, and then you'll see it.
It's actually more beautiful than Italian. I'm not even kidding.
I'm sure Filippo agrees.
I'll bring it round.
You and Filippo need to discuss do an Italian review for us someday.
It'll just be me just sitting there nodding and him just talking. Yep.
Being lost in his eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his voice.
Dreamy son of a bitch.
And that gleaming, beautiful beard that 3 out of 4 members of the Justice League have.
Fuck you.
In all seriousness, this is actually, it's quite enjoyable back-to-back. These two episodes were. Just because I was looking forward to the joke because I.
So far, the least enjoyable. Although I still did enjoy it.
What, you're saying you found these two the least enjoyable of all of them?
Of what we've watched so far, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was because it made more sense other ones did.
It was logical. Therein lies the flaw of the writing part.
Like, we had our first one where we had Riddler, Sue, Batman, and Robin. Then we had...
When everyone was on crack, yeah.
We had no idea what the fuck he was going to do, so we had Batman work it out for him.
Yep.
And then we got Joker, who wants revenge.
Hmm.
I like the fact that this one...
It makes sense. The other one's stupid, but this makes sense.
I like the fact that Batman actually solved a lot of the riddles this time. Instead of Robin.
That was good. He actually got the clues. He was actually the world's greatest detective.
Batman, the Joker is Batman's greatest nemesis, not Robin's.
Yeah, I know, but...
The Riddler's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
On acid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank Ocean did.
Bless that man.
Did
bless,
seem to take the light Tic Tacs.
Bless his cotton socks.
I bet they're green.
Yeah.
We're not talking about him. We're talking about the Joker.
Yeah. Season,
I reckon he's got purple socks.
And did everybody else notice that when Joker took over the TV station, he was wearing the same mask?
Very
that Heath Ledger.
Yes. I love
that. Now where is that? Here you go. A bit of canon.
No,
my vestibule.
That was in.
I'm talking to my vestibule.
In the Opera House, wasn't it?
The Opera House. You're correct. My apologies. Yeah.
To my vestibule of knowledge, Red Thunder.
Yeah.
Now, that face paint has obviously been now shown in the Heath Ledger Dark Knight and this one here. Now, the very original Joker, is that his original, like, the first time it's televised? Like, where does that face paint come from?
On the mask.
The actual mask, yeah, because that face paint...
Oh,
is that canon somewhere
it's
in the 50s?
It's a theatre. It's a theatre mask. What's it from?
Okay.
It's from, like... It's from an opera. I don't know if it was that opera. It might be from even Madame Butterfly's Malala.
Okay.
Sure. It's from an opera, but it's basically a mask that one of the dramatists wore.
Okay.
And so he's just wearing that as the disguise, but that was more of an homage in the...
Yeah.
In the Dark Knight.
As a callback to the Joker's first... Basically, it was kind of a... They're telling you already, if you've
that's
watched the
Joker.
Odd Stuff, you know...
Where
that's the
from.
Joker underneath the mask.
Right, because was there ever a portrayal of the Joker? Like, you know, the Batman serials that... were on during the war or after that.
I don't remember the Joker being in the serials.
Interesting. Okay. Because I was just wondering if it even goes back further than that. That's
I don't think it does. I think this is the start.
Excellent. Right.
But you're still looking at nearly like 50 years next year, so the history's still there.
It is 50 years next year.
It is.
You old bastards.
Ooh. That's... Suddenly, hand.
The hand of Jod.
My apologies for those of you on the podcast. I was just fixing up Terry's microphone. And
yes.
He doesn't actually like to talk directly into the fucking things.
Do apologize. I'm sorry.
So sometimes I have to get into action and become the boss here in the Justice League. Fix things.
We haven't had a training program yet. That's okay. That's fine.
Life is meant to train you, bitch.
I had an 18-year tutorial. So
exactly.
And
then
still fail.
Yeah, I got told to become an adult and I refused. So yeah. Anyway, like back to these episodes and why Brayden thinks they're the most boring ones. Because it's logical. You dumb shit.
I think that's fair. That's a fair point.
What,
I think you being a dumb shit is a fair point.
Is that what you're saying? You being a dumb shit is a fair point.
He's got kind of a fair point because everything else in this show so
ridiculous.
Far has just been so blatantly insane, whereas this one's kind of like, hey, here's normal, so you're like, but...
What?
It'd be like watching an episode of Friends, right, and for the entire episode Chandler does not make a joke. You'd just be like... What the fuck just happened?
Why?
Or like
Ross
you watch an entire
away?
Yeah. Or you watch an entire episode of That 70s Show, and at no point does Red Foreman ever call anybody a dumbass. You just feel like this fucking gypped, mate.
Something feels. Oh
my!
You notice it just feel wrong.
Exactly.
It just feels wrong.
Exactly.
Right, because his brain could have said it just felt wrong. You know, that was most boring. It was so entertaining. Tony Stark relying on his looks.
The least entertaining.
Always relying on his looks. Skating by through life on his Tony Stark looking face.
Actually, if it works, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
So, why haven't you fixed it yet?
Is that where you break your face years ago?
Wow. Throwing the punches out early.
What can I say? It's a long night, boys. Get
used.
Now, have we got any awards to hand out for this?
Yeah. Just one.
Just not... Okay, first of all, just got to ask, has anybody got any Barbaras?
Well, I think it's compulsory, Burt Ward.
You're going to give it to Burt Ward?
I just don't like him.
Okay.
Here's my go-to guy.
You are my number one.
Yeah. Old Tom.
And who about you, Matt? Yeah. Who you be got Barbara go-to, yeah?
Yeah.
Standard issue.
Yeah,
Burt Ward. Fat man Burt Ward.
He's not a fat man.
Not yet.
He is now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now he ate Batman and Robin from back in that show.
And Cesar Romero.
Oh, he ate all of that. That's why you think they're all dead.
And the scenery.
And the car.
And the car.
And Alfred. Car.
I can't believe that he stands on that car all the time. Like, what at least Batman has the
manners.
He has the manners. He opens the car door every single time he gets into that thing, no matter how much of a rush he's in. This little fucking dumb cunt just stands all over the car all the time, you know? Just dent the fender, just step on the boot.
It's can not imagine like if it's... Matt was Alfred, I just polished that fucking thing.
I would slap him. He would be, like, unconscious on the floor. You know what? You're going to polish this car with your tongue now, you little prat.
He wouldn't open
his own door. That's true.
Here's a better question for you. I'm going to get back to my partner in a sec. You sidetracked me because you made me think about him. Every episode I think this. Why the fuck is Alfred so tall? Why? He's like fucking a lurch in every scene. He makes Batman look like a wee man.
He does.
It's wee Batman. Wee Batman.
It's just not cool.
It's fair.
I also like how like every time
that... He's not that many. People live to be 90 years old, so
you'll
find a 90-year-old actor, they just
went,
yep, you'll do.
Yeah.
Especially a British one.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that every time they're in the car, that Burt Ward has a need to, like, grab hold of the
wheelchair
every single time.
No, do you know why? It's because whenever they leave the cave, because they use the same bit of stock footage, and in that, because it's stunt drivers, the guy as Robin has his arm up to hide his face.
Yeah, right.
So Burt Ward matches the positioning like a good actor every time.
So that's the only bit. So out of every episode... He gets 5 seconds
that's
of decency.
That's his continuity. That's his making
that's
joke.
That's his two gloves.
Yeah.
That's his two gloves.
That's him proving he's a two glover back in the
day. Okay, alright. Well, you know,
yeah.
It still doesn't change the fact you don't step on the goddamn car.
Mm.
Well, not if you respect the goddamn Batman.
Too bad.
I do love the fact that he just constantly calls Batman. It just makes me laugh every time I hear these two have a conversation when they're alone in the Batcave and he's calling him Batman.
Yeah.
I fucking laugh every time, so I'm like, oh, this is just insane.
It is. It's bad.
I still don't understand how nobody's worked out that the only guy with a fucking British
butler
is like, but not Batman. Who could Batman be? We've been to his house. And I'm a good enough cop to know I should know somebody's voice when I speak to them that much.
Yeah, considering Adam West doesn't change his voice.
Nothing as Alfred. I'll just get him for you, sir.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I also just love that he strolls into any room no matter what he's doing and just lean, doesn't even say come with me, just like he can be having excuse me, you folks at home listening on the cast, the audio I'm added to you folks on the Twitch stream, I'm just gonna go over to Matt's screen. So watch Matt's screen for a second and I'm just gonna have a conversation style of Alfred and Bruce Wayne. Alright, now, pretend there's a person here where my hand is that Matt is talking to. Matt is Adam West.
Yeah. Hi. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Bat phone, sir.
Oh, thank you. I've got to go fishing.
The bats are biting down to the lake.
I've got a board meeting that I've got to duck off to.
Yeah. It's always fishing as well. But we did see Robin get some culture today from Aunt Mildred piano playing. Was that this episode?
Yes.
Yes. So it's good to see the young man is interested in stroking the organ.
He doesn't want to have his piano lessons, but it's okay because Alfred brings him milk and cookies.
Oh, that's right. That is true. Anyway, we're getting back to Barbara's.
Yeah, to Bryden. Have you got one?
I don't think I do. So I know you got... I mean, I'm not a big fan of Burt Ward myself, but I think the character he plays in this is needed, so I don't really have a problem.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you that Robin probably is needed in a Batman and Robin show.
Oh, no, we're not saying he wasn't needed. I'm just saying he's my go-to Barbara Recipient.
Yeah.
Recipient.
Ragga, 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 mo.
Mother.
I know.
Ding it down. You know, Batman... Oh, sorry, not Batman. Fucking Burt Ward moment there.
Batman,
you say? Batman.
Adam West is actually his acting has gotten better over the episodes, yeah. And you can see growth in his portrayal.
Adam West is great.
He is. It's Adam West. Anyway, he does do well, and he is getting better. Whereas Burt Ward still has that stupid enthusiasm of, like, the first time he found his penis. Holy God, Batman!
I've got a wang!
I've got a boner!
In fairness, I do think I said, holy donuts, Batman. I was just like, holy donuts, Batman.
Oh, that's what the hole's for?
I'm going to need a while.
Yeah, to the bat poles.
But anyway. So you don't help on Braden, is what you're saying.
No,
okay.
You are an unenthusiastic prick.
Well, I'm going to have to hand one to my go-to as well, and as we all know, it's not Burt Ward, because it's not sucky enough.
Chibahara?
It's, Chibahara tries his best. Okay, he's just one cop trying to run a dirty Gotham Street.
At least he knows that he doesn't have the skill the commissioner
needs.
He's
a brave man, admitting when his skills are limited. But my fact award goes to Aunt Mildred, because she sucks! Boom, with a bullet, Aunt Mildred. The sad part is, this is going to make me sound like a real dick, but I kind of wish she would die, but she's already dead. So I wish she'd come back to life so it's like a zombie so I could kill her and be okay. People are like, thanks for killing Aunt Mildred. I'd be like, you are fucking welcome, world. Give me my award. I'm going home.
Give him my Cranston.
Fair enough.
Speaking of Cranstons.
Yes. You like that?
Segue there.
Did you like that?
Nice one. Tag team that one. What do you got?
Cesar Romero. I love him as a Joker. I just do. Always have. Just do. That moustache.
That stache. Well said.
That stache.
Okay.
The two men I trust in Gotham is the Joker with moustache and Jim Gordon when he has moustache.
So you don't trust this
Jim? No. No.
But he has an amazing voice.
That is true, actually. This is true.
He's my favourite part of this show. Whenever he comes on, I'm like, oh, just talk. Just give him something to read. Don't Ridley, you sick.
Okay, so to establish, to add on onto your fantasy.
Oh, we'll put him in there. He's dead, though. We think of bringing him back to life. He's in there, too.
So Tom Cavanagh, J-Dubs, while looking at a naked Terry Hatcher from Lois and Clark, and Commissioner Gordon. From 66.
Yeah, Commissioner Gordon can just be like in the corner telling, just reading off random shit. He doesn't have to be part of the conversation.
Anything with punctuation, like if you're reading anything with punctuation, you need him reading it.
Yes. Or like just explain, my God.
My God.
Well, there's only one man needed at a time like this.
The reverse flash. Oh, no.
The inverse. Alright, so Cranston's, who are you giving him to? Who else are you giving him to? So is this a unanimous one?
That's just for me.
Or has anybody else got different answers?
I'll go with the two. I will go and Cesar Romero, but Adam West as well. I think he does
definitely as well. Well, he's Batman.
He's Batman. He's a goddamn Batman.
He's Batman.
Actually, for the 60s, he'd probably be the gosh darn Batman.
That dang nabbit Batman.
That gosh dang. Are you dense?
That dumb.
Are you dense? Are you retarded? I'm the gosh dang Batman.
That flooper duping Batman.
Holy Cape Crusaders Batman.
That chimney cricket.
Chimney cricket.
Doggone Batman.
Are you thick? Are you slow minded? I'm the gosh darn Batman.
I'm the gold darn it Batman.
Are you special? No, that's too PC.
Well, it is the 60s, so it'd probably be like
slow minded.
Are you retarded? Are you slow witted?
Yes.
I'm the gosh darn Batman. Because they could still say retarded back then.
I suppose it would.
In the 60s.
And then a woman would walk by and they'd just slap her. Just for being down the street.
If only she'd let him save her.
Oh, wow. God. Yeah, I'm going to have to late jump on Braden on that one. Go with Adam West. I love Adam West.
Everybody loves Adam West.
So it's a 50% late jump.
Alright, I got an interesting one this week.
You've always got an interesting one.
My Cranston one goes to the makeup department. Because they must have got in there for an early day whenever Cesar Romero was on set.
No, what? Well, there was no flash.
Like a roller.
Yeah, so I think
it's
they would
just a bucket. They just fucking dump it in.
Yeah, it's a chip rocker. They've got just like slowed down, just plastered across a little bit, like bit, just a little bit. Someone.
Oh, they've got the the corners thing that's got the wheels. Push that under his leg.
Just for the straight edge. Yeah, I'm with you. They've like mixed up a special like thicker layer of paint as well, like enhanced with lamp, like just as a thickening agent as well. So, poor bastard.
Yeah, that seems plausible.
And then it's 60, so I wouldn't be surprised.
And then half a day to wash it out so you can sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it takes time.
Yeah,
that's why they're only a 20-minute episode.
Exactly.
The budget went into all the extra lip paint for Caesar.
Exactly.
That's what happened. It's tragedy.
Tragedy.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, let's move it on then to Lois and Clark. Sorry. No, what am I talking about?
We can do Lois and Clark. No, that's fine. Clash. We want the best to last.
Yeah, I know.
That's why Adam goes last.
All right, Flash episode 3, Watching the Detectives. I wish I had my reggae music. Opening with a seemingly deadly fire, the Flash saves a couple of young boys, but unknowingly he is being stalked by a tenacious young detective by the name of Lockhart. A local mob boss by the name of Arthur has gotten off a charge of racketeering, but as we soon discover, our friendly local DA Constil is crooked as they come. As it turns out, mob boss Arthur Simonson has plans for all the ugly waterfront buildings, turning them into casinos and clubs, while Lockhart has infiltrated Barry's life at Star Labs and at his home. Barry is blackmailed by ADA Costil. Is it Costil or Constil? Doesn't matter, he's
Castile.
Dirty. Is it Castile? He's dirty, I don't care. After finding out Barry is a Flash, he becomes his errand boy, taking the mob boss's casino for every coin they have, and is sent out to find out dirt on the ADA's political opponent. After Lockhart hears from a bug that her and Tina McGee are going to be killed, she has a sudden change of heart and saves herself and Tina. The Flash catches the fire bug while Lockhart tries to catch the ADA and mob boss on tape, but it backfires. Flash saves the day, beating up the crooks. As the ADA runs to his car, he turns and tells the Flash that the only way the Flash can stop him is to kill him. As the ADA says this, he starts his car and it explodes. Justice.
Sucks to be that dude.
Oh yeah, no joke.
All right, what did we
you can't
think
kill me.
Of this?
This is just every week, villain of the week with no overarching story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true.
Story.
Yeah, true. Absolutely.
It's just without that, it's going nowhere.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's got like I keep saying, it's got one good character. Although I got to admit.
I enjoyed Lockhart.
Is that her name? Megan Lockhart?
Yeah, Megan Lockhart.
The one that they smooch at the end.
Yeah.
Smooch. I'm a fan of her. She could act too. She could hold her own. It's not just Jay Wes pulling up slack now, you know.
That's good.
It's Team Flash.
Team Flash. It's forming. I was marinating on this during the week, and I was thinking, well, maybe the writers and everyone thought to themselves, hey, we're definitely going to have a second season. Let's just hold off.
Oh, we're totes happy.
But unfortunately at the time, I'm pretty sure when this was airing, they were up against things like The Simpsons. So, I think they might have counted the chickens before they hatched. That's why the later half, like we've seen episode, was it 20? Where our man Mark Hamill pops up. So that's why we actually started getting that ramp up and we started to get things like Daylight, which seems to be a short
daylight
supply.
Daylight seems to be coming in.
Yeah. So that's one thing. Maybe they thought they'd definitely have a second season.
Yeah, it makes me think that they were backing off the success of Batman.
Yeah.
No question. This is 1 year after Batman.
Yeah.
So they're absolutely, they were developing it when Batman came out.
It's like how everyone's like jumping onto comic book movies now.
Exactly. Yeah. They took the wrong tone.
Yeah.
Had they taken the tone that The Flash has now, it would have worked.
Yeah, like if this was like we had more daylight scenes, more like
fun,
yeah, more social scenes, like we'd have, say, Iris and Barry in like a cafe talking about whatever, of that sort of stuff.
I mean, something other than outside and in the lab.
Yeah, pretty much. Like if it was more daylight, if you'd be probably more inclined to watch it if there was actually more daylight, because I'm pretty sure The Flash went out during the day.
Yeah.
So
he did seem to like the daylight.
So it's kind of sad, really.
Mm.
As much as I want to enjoy it, I can't.
About this, where the hell did Iris go?
She left in the first episode. They broke up. At the family dinner, she was like, I can't do this anymore, Barry. You're just not there for me. She's like 21. She doesn't want to talk about getting married.
She doesn't want... It was going too serious for her, so she fucked off.
Yeah. Yeah, she's an artist. That's what artists do.
She's a Barbara.
Yeah, she's a Barbara.
Yeah, she's a Barbara.
There is serious continuity between that series of Flash and this Flash that we've got.
Iris is a Barbara all around. She's a hoe bag.
That'd be a Felicity, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, true.
So Iris is a Felicity.
Oh, I don't know. Iris hasn't really done a Felicity hoe baggery. She hasn't jumped from one bed to another. She's been a pain in the ass.
Yeah, she,
you call her a basic bitch, if anything.
Yeah, oh, okay. That's fair. That's
So she's an Olabra?
She's a what?
Olabra.
She's an Olabra. There you go. She's an Olabra.
Felicity Barbara.
Okay.
She's an Olabra.
Felicity.
Barlicity.
Barlicity.
Yeah.
All right.
She's a PG Felicity.
Speaking of Barlicities, has anybody got any Barlicities or Barbaras or Felicities to hand out for this?
Yeah.
Can steal.
Yep.
Fuck him.
Corruption. Stuff you right corruption.
The
Yeah, the ADA.
He's a dick. I hated him right from the get-go.
Yeah, he's slimy.
Yeah, okay. Unanimous.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brad, what'd you say?
I was just saying, very convenient that he got blown up at the end of the episode. But
yes, deal with a mob.
Yeah, you can't kill me. No, but the mob can, you dumbass.
Yeah, the only way he can stop me is to kill me. Ooh, we're in a TV show. That's
just, America.
It's America.
You say that to an American, you're going to die.
It's just, it's one of those
don't
things.
Don't poke the bear. For those of you at home, think about poking the bear. Don't poke the bear.
Just don't.
Never do it.
Don't poke the bear. Never.
Just don't.
Just let them do their thing.
Don't poke the bear.
Just leave them alone.
Just don't do it.
It's fine.
It's not worth it.
Don't poke the bear.
It's not worth it.
Hashtag, don't poke the bear.
Hashtag, don't poke the bear, FDB. Now, let's talk... Cranston's.
It's going to be the same as last week for me.
Yeah.
J-Dubs.
Yep. He's the only good thing in the show.
In fact...
I'm going to take that back. I'm going to need Mundell Megan Lockhart this week.
Just about to say that, you mutton.
Yeah. I want to see more of her, though. I want to see more.
I wouldn't mind seeing more of her.
My Lockhart.
Sorry, Brad, we missed that. We were making jokes at the top of what you were saying there.
Sorry, Brad.
I was going to say, I'll go J-Dubs with an honourable mention of Megan Lockhart.
Oh, he's seeing the best of both worlds. What a fucking cop-out. Just like the handsome people in the world, isn't it?
So, hang on. That means you're given a set of Paul Allen's?
Aaron Paul.
Yes. You're given a set of Aaron Paul's. One to John Wesley's ship. So you're given... The dude that's aptly deserved the Cranston.
He deserves a full Cranston. What he's saying is a full Cranston. The whole Cranston is going to J-Dubs.
Okay.
With that's an honourable mention.
So probably not an Aaron Paul. We're talking like...
Just a certificate.
Yeah.
Okay.
A $20 certificate sizzle.
A signature.
Yeah.
Nah, a signature's too good because you can sell that on eBay, but like a $20 like gift card to JB Hi-Fi or some shit.
She's basically getting a certificate of completion.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, yep. Yeah. All right, cool.
For entrance into the running to win a Cranston.
Yeah.
Which she'll never win.
Oh, I don't know.
She's got one from me.
She's pretty good, actually.
She's already won one. You just gave her one, in fact. Yeah, you just said.
You dick.
I'm being a douche.
Well, you've been being exclusive on one of those since you were born, I think, so...
Wow.
We'll allow that to pass this once.
I'm pretty sure I've been a douche since you got me here.
Yep, yeah, I've been. All right.
We're done?
We're done with that.
Are we done? We're good?
So let's now move on to 1993 with, like, the best... Of all these shows, the one that I enjoy watching the most is the best. Lois and Clark, Matt, take it away.
All right, this is episode 3, Never Ending Battle.
That is.
I got the right one this week.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you did. Standing in the Hall of Fame.
You'll receive your check for $9.99 later on.
You'll get a certificate of completion. An honorable mention certificate.
Most of them will say PA, like pass acquired. It's okay.
Passes all on me.
P's make degrees, mate.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, Never Ending Battle. Everyone is after Superman. Lex Luthor wants to know how strong and fast he is and designs various tests for Superman, including having people jump off buildings simultaneously or almost simultaneously,
mm-hmm.
when one of them doesn't really want to jump, he's just like, you know what, I'm not going to jump. It's cool. And then the other one gets pushed off and it's just like, why even bother? Anyway, side note. Sorry. Lois is infatuated with with the man in tights and is determined to find out as much as she can about him. With her pretty much stealing everyone's ideas and having an after... Oh, dear, dear.
Just keep talking.
It's fucking distracting.
How am I distracting? Read your review. Not walking through your lights, Christian Bale. Read your fucking synopsis.
Okay, after Lois stole all these ideas from everyone else and steals an idea from Clark, Clark decides to get an even better to get even with her by sending Lois out on a wild goose chase for Superman's spaceship. Mm-hmm. Superman then goes to Lex Luthor and aptly tells him to stop having these tests because he can stop a bullet, and has proved that by shooting him. Oh, shooting a gun at him and then catching the bullet.
Yep.
Showed him how strong he is. It's Superman. It's Superman. So Superman. He's just like, you know what? Stop it. Just stop it. That's enough. And then have Lex Luthor say, the test will never be done, never be finished while you're still here.
Yep. Yeah, this Lex Luthor's really slimy.
He's a dirtbag.
I kind of like it.
I do like it.
Like, I don't like that he has hair, but I like it.
But I don't like that he cries at Snake.
I guess showing off the start of the relationship between him and Superman, where he's, you know, he's got a lot of money, he's powerful and things like that. A normal person, like a normal human being, going against Superman, who's stronger than bloody anything. What are you going to do? You're going to want to know about him. I think it's smart what he's doing. It's good.
Yeah. I'll give you that. Just to address your crying at snakes, I don't think it was meant to be not blinking so intently that his eyes just started leaking from the intensity.
Okay.
It was just intensity. That's how fucking intense he is. He's so intense that shit drips out of his eyes because he's so fucking intense, mate. Jesus, I'm intense!
You're dead.
I'm so intense! Shit is leaking out of my eyes!
Wow.
I love this show.
It's so good. It's like the cream of, like, the 90s TV.
Oh, God, it's good. And just Perry. Oh, love me good. Some Perry White. I love this
Why
Perry
Why does he
White
look so familiar? Was he... I want to say Wonder Years, but it wasn't him,
no.
Was it?
No.
He looks so damn familiar from another show.
IMDb, son. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I might have to. That's more homework. Oh.
And he's phenomenal. Great shades of Elvis.
Yeah.
Never underestimate the need for a good obituary. Love it.
That's good.
I don't know what there is to say about this episode. It was a good episode, but it was just a Superman meets Lex Luthor meets Superman episode.
Yeah, it was a bit of a filler.
Yeah.
Well, it's more just, I guess you've got to have that because
there had to be the introduction.
Yeah, exactly.
There
it has
the
to have the reason that they don't like each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah,
and like I said, I do like this Lex Luthor and his pronunciation of Superman.
Superman.
The tests will last as long as we hear Superman.
Superman.
Oh, he's slimy. God, he's good.
So, let's talk Barbara and Cranston's on this.
Barbara's and Cranston's.
Oh my.
I was about to say that. Barbara's and Cranston's and Jimmy's. Oh my. It's a tricky one.
For Barbara.
I like Lex Luthor.
I like Lex Luthor.
I reckon I'll give him a Cranston.
I'm going to give him a Cranston, yeah.
Really? Two Cranstons for the Lex?
Yeah, but we have to find a different way to pronounce it, though. If you're saying Superman, we have to find Cranston.
Cranston.
He gets two Cranston.
A Cranston.
Cranstons.
Okay.
We're in Russia, Cranston.
So, Matt, are you giving out a Cranston? Or a Cranston?
You might be giving out a
Yeah, I'm gonna give it Cranston.
Yeah, who too?
Such a bogan. Cranston.
Cranston.
Have a Cranston, son.
I'm giving him a Cranston for
and a croissant and a cup of coffee.
A croissant. They can't even say croissant. What the fuck is wrong with you, bogan?
It's
a croissant.
Give me one of those half moon donut things.
Oh, a croissant? Well, it's what you get when you're down in the fucking ghetto, mate. You get a cheeseburger and an iced coffee and you shut the fuck up.
Because it's a cold, grey Chicago night.
In the ghetto.
And his mother cries.
So, Matt, you were saying?
Here you go.
Chris is going to Perry White.
Ooh. That's that it. Is a damn fine answer.
Sorry, sir, was that sir?
Sorry, to answer your question from before, he was in Mighty Ducks, Perry White.
That's the one.
That's right, he's the dude that fires Emilio Estevez.
He is. Oh my god, he is.
And I was all like, Emilio!
Wow.
Okay, Cranston's. Lois and Clark. It's a tough one.
You want to give yours to Terry Hatcher because of boobs. Just be honest.
I'm going to tell you something, Terry. I'm going to tell you something. My Cranston goes to Terry Hatcher for more than just her boobs. It goes to her for her voice. Not for her lipstick. That lipstick is atrocious. Doesn't go for the shoulder pads either.
What about her bedroom eyes?
The 90s were all about the shoulder pads.
The 90s were all about Terry Hatcher.
And shoulder pads.
And me not wanting to wait.
For your life to be over.
Exactly. So, no, Terry Hatcher gets my lowest. Lois. Love Lois in this. For more than just the boobages reasons. So there's no Barbaras at all?
No.
Wow.
No. It's a good episode.
All right.
Good
memories. Well, since we're at the end, let's hand out the gloves for the 3TV. What do we give them first of all to Batman? Batman, Jokers, gloves.
3.5 for the Cesar Romero show.
Okay.
3.5. Yeah, I'll say 3.5. I think every other episode so far I've said 4. So I'm
going to
say
3.5
for this one.
Okay.
I'll go 4.
4?
I like this one. I love the Joker. I've always loved the Joker.
I gave 3.5 basically just for Caesar.
I love the Joker and I love... Like, he's got that... It's not like a erratic craziness. It's just like, you know...
It's not Frank Bush.
But crack.
But yeah, it's a Joker. It's a calculating Joker, and I like that. It's a
smart Joker, yeah.
I like that. It's not just a... I'm the Joker, so I'm just going to be, like, badass, because my name's Joker.
Joker.
But he's got that, even like when he's being arrested and Batman's like, you're going back to prison. He's like, so it's still that.
He's slightly Muggsy Bogues, is that what
you're saying? Yeah.
Muggsy Malone.
Get your Batman.
Wait, that's a penguin.
That's
a
penguin.
That's a penguin.
Alright, yeah, I'm going to have to say myself 4.2.
That's awfully precise.
Has a new 5 yet.
Where did good. The two okay. fingers go?
3.
Oh, yeah, 3.
You're missing...
3?
You're an electrician and you're failing at math.
4.2. 5. I guess 2 and a thumb, but still 5 overall finger slots on a glove. So that'll be 3 missing.
No, fine.
I'm glad you're here joining us live from the Batcave with your skills.
Bring your A game next time, Matt.
1 + 1 is 2. 1 + 1 is 2. 2 + 2 is 4. Now, what about 4 Flash?
2.5, 3.
Yeah?
I'm going to give about 2.75. It's starting to irk me that we've got no daytime.
He's giving me shit about fucking 4.2 and he's exactly dissecting one of the fingers in half.
Exactly. Because I still love it.
Have you measured it precisely? Do you know how many fingers there are on a glove? Because did Matt measure
Sorry,
it
I wasn't the one who
I'm asking, because did he measure it for you? Because if so...
He's not, and he just proved his shit at maths.
Yeah, I know, that's why I'm
so
asking.
So now I'm now questioning the wiring of the Batcave. Alright?
Are you burning?
No.
Almost. It's shut
almost.
Up. Well, if you are...
Would you like me to get you some salt?
Well, maybe if
is
you take
you
a fucking cigarette butts out of your brain, you ciggy butt brain.
Oh, whoa. That's just taking it too personal. Too personal. No, I'm giving it about 2.75.
Okay.
Over to you, Adam.
Thanks, Harry. 1.
Yeah. J-Dubs, just for J-Dubs?
Actually, 2.
J-Dubs and Lockhart?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll get you her name. We'll find you her
name. I used to know her name.
Sandy.
No. Sandy. Brain, gloves?
I watched this. I started watching this last week, and I just couldn't do it.
Wow.
I didn't even watch it again this week because I don't know.
I can't do it, man.
I think I ended up turning it off and going and doing something else.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, people from Maui have very short attention spans, so that's fine.
Hey, pronounced Mo.
Mo, sorry.
Fuck's sake. Pronounce things right.
The mayor here on Twitter.
The mayor of Mo will get very mad if you pronounce it's wrong. Matt,
yo,
are you gloving this one up?
Three gloves.
Three gloves.
Three gloves.
I enjoyed this episode.
Why?
Because I enjoyed the episode.
Joyce Heiser, by the way, is the hunter who plays Megan Lockhart. Terry's just put a picture up for me. She was quite a fine piece of ass back in the day. I think she may, in fact, be our show mentioned. We'll get thousands of downloads.
Well, done and done. I'm glad to.
So, there's your home looking at Abba Bay. I'm going to take her out here, literal IMDb photo pick the album for you, because it's good enough for you to take a wank to. If you're on Twitch TV and you want to check it out right now, just head over to IMDb and search Joyce Heiser, that's spelled H-Y-S-E-R. And give yourself 5 minutes, clean up, come back and join us. We'll wait.
That's cool.
Give me time. Good work. Now you've cleaned up. Welcome back. And three gloves.
I like how Megan Lockhart, she actually did well with sort of her little almost changing roles type thing, you know, going for the TV repair person or cable person.
She played the Lois Lane.
She played that really well.
The Chamelon. That's how I've heard it pronounced. The Chamelon.
Who pronounced the Chamelon?
It was on something that I saw. I can't remember if it was a joke or if it was on a podcast, but it was a guy who only read the word and he pronounced it Chamelon.
Like Champagne?
Yeah, Champagne.
Or Guacamole.
I still like
Guacamole.
I still like in Married with Children, Kelly Bundy pronounces lasagna lasagne.
Yeah, I still pronounce it lasagne.
Yeah, it's lasagne.
Lasagne. In honor of Kelly.
Is it like Lou Ferrigno? No, instead of Lou Ferrigno?
Yeah, Ferrigno. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see
that. Ferrigno.
And finally, Lois and Clark, what gloves are we giving them?
3.5. I know the best is yet to come.
Oh, it's just ramping up. It's already this good.
Mm.
Fuck, Perry White's so good. Mm. Brad, what are you giving it?
Yeah, I'm going to go 3.5 as well, because it's filler.
Yeah.
It's the introductory filler.
Although I did like Blades.
Yeah.
Quite like Blades.
Three gloves.
Three gloves for Matt.
Yeah, three gloves.
You love your three gloves, don't you?
It's been a...
You just breach in and just three gloves constantly come out. You're like, fuck, that's my go-to.
Yeah, he gets nine gloves for TV every week.
No,
and
I
that's
don't.
His budget. That's his budget. That is your budget.
No,
for
I don't.
Week.
It is.
That's your budget.
I'm pretty sure I gave like
8,000 gloves.
No.
All the gloves.
I gave up a couple for one of the Batmans. I gave four the other week.
Gave it to Burgess Meredith, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of TV. How are you feeling after that one?
Refreshed.
You're feeling good?
But I feel a pit of rage coming soon. It's okay.
Do you feel like you don't want to wait?
No, I don't want to wait.
Are you laughing at me?
Actually, I'm pretty close.
Do we want to just quickly just side note before we go on break? Put a glove on. No.
Do you want to put a glove on, dear?
You want to do some probing?
Do some probing, I think.
Yeah, sure. Do some probing.
Do some probing. Nothing's wrong with a good probe.
It's just because
we can't get a good probe here.
How much of your limb will this
glove
cover?
Elbow.
Exactly.
We've gone elbow deep
with the probe.
So you're pretending you're either an Amish mechanic or a vet. You've got to go elbow deep.
Elbow deep.
Excellent.
Okay. So what are we looking into?
We're looking into Burt Ward.
Burt Ward, you say?
Burt Ward.
Wait a minute. This Burt Ward?
That Burt Ward.
That's astonishing.
The man in tights, or his life in tights, by the boy wonder, Burt Ward.
Tell us all about Burt Ward, Matt.
Well, I was having a discussion about Batman lore and our podcast with various people over the week, and I came across someone that told me that Burt Ward had to be shot carefully on the Batman's series.
Just shot in general or with the camera?
With the camera.
Oh, okay, cool.
With the camera. Because his...
Can I just preface this before you jump in? This is according to Burt Ward as well. Just going to preface that out there. This comes from Burt Ward. Continue, Matt.
But they had to shoot him carefully because of the size of his package. And so the angles, and because of the tights were so tight around his junk, they couldn't show this massive member. So they actually had, he actually had a couple of tights and like restrictors and stuff to hold things up. And
interesting.
And a particular tablet, I believe, is that correct? It's some sort of pill?
Yeah, he had a penis shrink tablets he was made to take. As we saw in, you two might remember, Matt hadn't joined us at this point, but we reviewed Return to the Batcave.
Yes.
And they discussed the fact that Burt Ward's dick is just fucking schlongish. Which, you know why I don't buy that? Oh, I kind of buy it and I don't, because I imagine you're not going to be super depressed if you've got a massive dick.
Yeah.
Just generalisations.
Well, yeah.
Hang on. Just balls.
Just balls.
So...
Just two nuts.
So, you know, so he's... He's not going to be super depressed from that. But also, like, you're not going to get super fat if you've got a massive dick because you're going to want to look at it. Now, Ron Jeremy is the exception here.
The vag hog.
But Burt Ward does not look like somebody who possesses a gigantic penis.
No, he looks like a 10-year-old schoolboy.
I'm just going to bring him back up on the Twitch feed for those who missed him at home. There's a bit more of him for you again.
Oh, Lord.
But that does look surprisingly weird. I mean, that shape...
That one for his cover isn't actually him. That's
Ron Jeremy.
Photoshop job he made to bring on, because the entire book is basically written about Burt Ward writes about how much dick he put in other chicks, or his dick, I imagine, how big was, how much put in chicks, and how many chicks
wanted
dick his dragon
put
dick.
His dick in, no.
Yeah, well, a lot of chicks wanted Dick's dick.
Yeah,
a lot of chicks wanted dick and cider, if you know what I mean.
It's a fine cider.
Oh, it's one of the crispest. Woman. It's one of the crispest in all the land, I'm told.
Excellent.
Well, yeah, that's a good pro, Matt.
That's fair. That's
a good pro.
It's
a good
pro. Anyway, that's what I came across. So I started digging and come across the book.
Well, that's good.
So
that's good. All right. Well, for now, let's jump on to the film for this week.
I thought we were going to break up.
No, we're going to take a break between episodes.
Okay, sorry.
We can go on break.
No, go for it. Go.
All right.
Live.
Live radio is fun, folks at home. Here we go. Very nice. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Superman 2.
Superman 2. The adventure continues with the three villains from Krypton. Each one with the same powers as Superman. Each one dedicated to violence against mankind. Think of it. Three supervillains. Or four if you count him twice. The adventure continues in Paris with Lois Lane.
I believe this is your floor.
And the romance continues. The adventure continues in Washington. The world is on the brink of destruction.
Superman, can you hear me?
And Metropolis is in ruins.
Is there no one on this planet to even challenge me?
Superman!
General, would you care to step outside?
Revenge!
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 You know we're cooking, huh?
One's just as strong as Superman.
If you've only seen the first part, you haven't seen the best part. The adventure continues in Superman 2.
All right, Superman 2. Now, normally this is the part where I read a synopsis that tells you all about what we just saw this week. But I'm not going to, because I did that last week. It's the same fucking film. It's just shittier. So instead, I have taken it upon myself to make a list of all the differences between the two films that matter, so that we can discuss those instead. So, as opposed to subjecting ourselves to the possibility of needing to have our brains melt from talking about the whole fucking thing over again, let's just get into it. Number one, Richard Donner's cut. The superior cut.
We love you.
Okay, Lois decides, it starts off with Lois joining the dots that Superman might be Clark, throwing herself out the building, landing on the fruit store, and Clark being all like, what happened? You doing, bitch? Great stuff. This piece of shit starts off with Clark coming into work and being all like, hey, I'm here. And being all flirty and James Bond-like and everybody ignoring him because he's Clark. And then Lois ignoring him for a while and then being like, I got Eiffel Tower. I got the Eiffel Tower. She's covering the Eiffel Tower story. And so then there's an Eiffel Tower bomb and the bomb is going to go off and Superman and has to...
The Eiffel Tower?
Fly. Yeah, it becomes the Eiffel Tower.
Superman has to fly to the Eiffel Tower and stop the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty shit.
Is he going to swallow it?
No, he just kind of stops it and then...
You know. Yeah,
but does he get the bomb and put it in his mouth and eat it?
You're so salty. Just
That would have been better. This film sucks. So that happens. All right, so that's one. Now, the same things that continue, Lois and Clark go undercover as newlyweds to expose a honeymoon threat and go to Niagara Falls. Now, in the Richard Donner superior cut, they go to Niagara Falls. Bill Hop's all like, do you want help? And he's like, no, thanks. I'm Clark Kent. I got it. And the Bill Hop fucks off in this one. He does comedy. Oh, and what comedy it is. He proceeds to tell them all about how the room works and make shit jokes and chew gum, and it made me want to fucking kill myself. So this film sucks some more. Now, difference number three. At the Fortress of Solitude, where Lex arrives and finds all the shit.
Again.
In the superior cut, he talks to Jor-El, which makes sense because Jor-El is ever-present in the first film and kind of teaches his son and whatnot. In this one, he talks to Lara because evidently the director had to reshoot a certain amount that many. He probably couldn't afford to get Marlon Brando back, so instead we got this shit and it sucked. What else happened in this shit box? Oh, yes, of course. Then, continuing on, at Niagara Falls in Richard Donner's superior cut, A kid falls off, Superman saves him, and Lois is all like, Superman's never here when Clark's here. Interesting.
But I'm still swooning.
This one, same sort of thing happens, and then Lois is all like, I'll make you reveal that you're Superman, I'll throw myself into the river.
Nah.
And then Clark kind of
as opposed to her early throwing herself out of the building.
But the building one kind of was clever, and like he blew a fruit stand, and that one was at least... That one made sense.
Yeah, that was clever.
That was clever.
And it made sense because it was that spur of the moment she really had joined the dots. This one, she just kind of got a theory, but it's kind of come out of nowhere.
Superman's here, so he will save me even if he's not.
Yeah. I just want to point out that I noticed that in Richard Donner's film, Superman pulls his glasses down before he uses his X-ray visions because it would kind of melt the glass. In this one, he doesn't have to. The heat vision, can just go through the glass. Also, if you go back and watch the first one in Richard Donner's superior cut, as I say, the heat vision is very clearly not meant to be visible to people. It's the red is just there for us and as an audience. However, in this one, that everybody can see it, meaning that people can see him when he does that shit as Clark Kent. Anyway, moving on. In the Richard Donner cut.
Superior cut.
The only cut that matters.
Lois decides to really find out once and for all if Clark is Superman by firing blank bullets at him. Very smart.
That's actually a good
very
move.
Clever,
very good move.
Works very well. Gives her everything she needs to know. In this one, Superman, who is Clark Kent, Superman
trips over
a bearskin rug and lands his hand in a fireplace. Superman, the man who can fly, the man who, in theory, if he did trip over a rug, should kick through the fucking thing and should break through that fireplace when he lands.
Yep.
Which means that basically he meant to trip on that rug and meant to put his hand in the fire so that Lois could find out that he's Superman.
Yeah.
That is the dumbest idea ever.
It's a stretch.
as the sound of pages turning for you, those of you at home, as it went on to more than one page as to what made this film shit and different. As I say, the reason they had to shoot so much that was shit and different was because you have to shoot over 51% of the film to make it your own, so that's what this dumbass did. Okay! In the sphere of Richard Donner cut, when Zod, Non, and Ursa?
Yes.
Come to Earth, or planet Houston.
Houston.
They encounter two cops. Those two cops just don't make jokes, turn up, and one of them tries to shoot Non.
Yep.
It's a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. In this one... You ready?
No.
Wait,
just like... Stretch, just get ready to absorb this piece
of crap. Okay. In this one, the cops make some jokes, and Zod doesn't like the light on top of the car, and then Non finds a shotgun in the back and shoots himself, and then finally they go to have an arm wrestling match in the bar between Ursa and some trucker... And then Non meets a kid who he freaks out with his eye beams, and Zod has some kind of finger poke levitation power.
Yeah,
what the hell is that crap?
I just can't.
Like, what is it? What is that?
I can't.
I wish I had an answer for you.
I am a schoolgirl at the moment. I just can't even.
Is that like Harry Potter some bullshit in there?
That's probably where
JK. I can tell you, but it's just a power that apparently you have if you're evil.
Levitation hands.
Levitation finger. Exactly.
Well, things I could do with a levitation finger.
Yep.
All right. In the Superior Richard Donner cut, when the villains are flying towards Washington, where they now know that is the capital, they knock over the Washington Monument.
Yes.
Which is actually on the way to Washington, funnily enough.
It makes sense.
In this one, they fly over Mount Rushmore and replace the faces with their own.
Which I'm pretty sure Mount Rushmore is located nowhere near Washington.
You would be correct. Okay.
Yeah,
you're right, Brayden.
It's the sort of movie you walk out of.
Are you eating ice cream?
Yes.
No.
That's a lie.
Okay, I just love the fact I got Brayden entertained enough that he brought in fucking salsa. He was like, this is going to be good. let me get my chop top.
Or alternatively, this is going to be shit, so I'm not going to pay attention.
All right. In the next one, in the Superior Richard Donner cut, Superman and his dad have a D&M about what it means to lose his powers and how, you know, I didn't send you to Krypton to... You're there for a bigger purpose and all that.
Yep.
And it's quite a moment for Clark to grow and...
To realise.
It's really nice. In this one, Superman just kind of leaves his powers with a bit of bad CGI.
Yep.
Where you see an X-ray into his skeleton or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do with electricity.
That's how electricity works. Maybe that's also his... Or other kryptonite, as it were. Electricity. Or X-rays.
You know the dude has X-ray vision, so alternatively, you're saying that he can fuck himself up if he looked at his jump.
Why is he X-ray visioning his dick?
Why not?
Tumors.
See if he's got syphilis or something.
Tumors.
I don't... Okay. And finally, in the Richard Donner film, as I say, the ending's still not great. Superman has to spin the Earth backwards because they didn't get time to film the actual ending they wanted to film.
That's okay.
Except that. Made sense. It still made sense. Superman
okay.
has that power.
Continuity.
In this one, Superman kisses Lois's memory away.
If that's what a kiss does, can you imagine if she gave him a blowjob?
Bitch
will be in a coma for a month.
He somehow.
Wormhole.
Crisis on Infinite Earth.
Causes a second crisis.
He somehow just kisses this bitch's memory away and then flies to the White House and is like, hey, I'm here to fix this. Sorry, I went away, Mr. President. Sorry I had my own life, Mr. President. I wasn't busy just defending America.
America, the one country that represents the world.
I'm just going to slide back and finish my can of Coke and let you guys talk about this because fuck it.
Anything we had good to say about this, we said last week in the Richard Donner cut. I understand that to make this movie, put his name on this movie, whatever his fucking name is, I don't know.
Richard Lester.
They got.
Who prefers to be known as Dick, funnily enough?
Forgot
Dick Lester.
Have 51% or whatever it was of his own thing but like he didn't change any of the story to make it easier. He literally just went and made a shit up.
Yep. He literally said, "All right, so I don't like this 50%."
You can see the moments that they changed as well, like in the at the Fortress of Solitude, you can see the stuff that he shot in the like where Superman's in the crystal thing. It's a different shape, it looks different. But also, I noticed that when Richard Lester filmed, funnily enough, he only made one film after this, and it came out the following year. When Superman came out, and it made the shit, like it was, he got the shit reviews it got because it made money, but pretty much he just got turfed out of Hollywood.
What movie was it?
I can't remember, some shit, but he he only shoots from one plane. Like, he never changes angles. He goes in and out.
Yeah.
Like, he'll do close-ups and shit, but it's only ever from the one plane. Him. Yeah. Whereas Richard Donner's shit is all shot from these crazy angles.
Yeah.
And that's when he cut between with all these crazy angles with his kind of staticky shots.
Yeah.
And they don't work. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Continue.
Well, that was it.
That
was
shit. That's it. It's,
it was worse than shit.
Well, covered it with pointing out the differences there between everything.
And our reactions.
From something really good, it just went and made a shit.
Oh, yeah, they did.
It just went and made a shit.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. That's, I mean, like, to be honest, like, when I was younger, I saw Superman 1, Superman 2. I was a loyal fan, and I enjoyed 2. As a wee child, I didn't understand logic. And now, as an older man who doesn't understand logic, but has a better grasp of it, this is a shit movie.
The weirdest part for me... Right, I've seen this movie a lot. I've seen Superman 1 a lot. In fact, I've seen all 4. I had all 4 on video. I loved them. I don't remember the last 30 minutes of this film. This film ends for me legitimately pretty much just when he defeats Zod.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't remember any of that. I don't remember the kids. I didn't remember any of them.
I still get confused between number 1 and number 2 and...
And sometimes 3.
And sometimes 3. Like,
yep.
The fight, like, I keep getting confused with the fights with Zod. Like,
yep.
I'm like,
yeah.
No, that fight, I know, that was number 2. No, wait, that was number 1. What?
The only thing this film does right, the only thing, and I think it's simply because he had to replace the amount of Marlon Brando that clearly was in the original script, is it has so much more Zod. And that's the only thing that makes it good is Zod just walking around being like, I do not understand this planet.
I like the fact that there's less Marlon Brando.
Yeah, me too.
In fact, I would actually like, because correct me if I'm wrong, because I kind of zoned out when you were going through, because I was trying to repress the memory of this movie. We don't get Marlon Brando, we get...
A little bit of the Marlon Brando, but mainly it's Lara.
Lara. I would have liked to see more...
Lara.
Mum-El. I would have liked to. Mum-El. Yeah, this is how it is. You know, we've got the Mum Knight, why not Mum-El? Mum-El. But, you know, I would have liked to see her because Marlon Brando's a fat, slimy prick and I don't like him. Mainly. So I would like to see more Lara.
It's good subjective journalism there.
Why not? It makes as much sense as this fucking film.
Whoa.
No, am I wrong?
No.
Exactly.
Fire up.
Oh, well, will, sir. There is something coming. There is a storm coming, Mr. Probe.
Will you believe?
Better batten down the hatches, Mr. Wayne.
Oh, that piece of shit.
All right. Well, let's talk... Barbara's first.
Now, Lester.
I was going to say, I'm going to put a couple of restrictions on this. You can't give it to Dick Lester simply because that is too fucking obvious and automatically gets one for making this. Plus, he only made fucking 51% of this film. Therefore, you're also giving that to 49% Richard Donner, and I will not allow that.
I will give it to the 51% that belongs to Dick Lester.
No.
Don't you tell me how
and
to buy my brother, sir.
And you also cannot give them to none.
That's to cover you.
Damn it.
So, yeah, so no Dick Lester, no none. What did you say, Braden?
Richard Donner gets Cranston, and Dick Lester gets Barbara.
All right, Terry.
Yeah. I will give it to the 49% that is Rich Donner.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm calm down.
I'm going to give Cranston's to, like, your faces with my fist.
You're... Okay. No, Chris...
Power will punch aside your face for free.
Christopher Reeves or Cranston's.
Yes. But when I Cranston's, I want Barbara's, goddammit.
I need to start...
fucking questions!
I need to start with something good. I had to watch this film again, man. It's like going through Nam. Shit. Right.
What the fuck?
You want Barbara's?
Hello, I want Barbaras.
You want Barbaras? Jimmy.
Jimmy?
He's a whiny bitch. I hate him.
Yeah.
Just, I hate him in this. In this 51, the 51% of Jimmy that I have to see.
Jimmy's not in this one that much.
Exactly.
Are you sure you don't think it's a three?
No, no, I don't like Jimmy. I don't like Jimmy in this
you
movie.
You still like Jimmy?
I don't like Jimmy in this
series. You don't like Marty McFly's brother? Wow. You upset a lot of people that like the 80s.
You don't like me, you prick.
I don't care about your opinion.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Just
Matt was born in, like,
Matt was born the year Batman came on the air.
I'm too old for this shit, alright?
So he came, what was that, be 1943, the serials or some shit, wouldn't it?
No, no, 60, he was, well, oh. I think he was born 67, because I got a theory that he's actually maybe Burt Wood's kid.
Dude, too far. Too fucking far.
Wow, that's...
Well, I'm just saying, have you ever seen Burt Wood grow a beard?
Whoa.
That's, genetics don't lie.
That's rough.
Just saying, think about some Atkins now, you don't want to get diabetes. But on the plus side, I am implying you have a big dick, apparently. So, you know, he swings and roundabouts.
I mean, slap it on your forehead, if you like.
So he just bounces around like a hippie, huh? Okay.
Fucking Jesus.
Fucking what have we got for Barbaras? Brayden? Barbaras?
My Barbaras.
Oh. Jesus, Matt. Did I say Brayden?
I don't want to give it to any of the characters.
If you hand this to Dick Lester, I will come to my ear and kick him in the ball.
I'm sorry, but Dick Lester, it's because of him.
Yeah, because he...
Alright, can I throw this in? Do you hate this because of Dick Lester, or do you hate this because of Alexander Skarsgård, the producer who threw Richard Donner off and then went on to produce the other two films that come out of this as well? Is that who you hate? Because I think when we get to number three, you're going to hate him. Richard Donner was thrown off this film because he wanted to do some reshoots. He got a little bit over budget, and it looked like he was going to go slightly over time. And Alexander Skarsgård wanted it out as quickly as possible because the first one was such a success, meaning he could make money off of this. So he fired Richard Donner.
I do got to give him a little bit of credit when you go, all right, you got to get in quickly and change this. And if you want your name, you got to shoot this. So he was obviously very under pressure for time. But still, you know, a lot of good actors or directors these days will go, if it's not going to be any good, I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
Yep.
So,
integrity is not
there. We've got an anecdote for that in number three when we get to the next episode. But, okay, look, fine. I'll let you give it to fucking Richard Lester and break the rules because you're such a handsome son of a bitch. Okay, Matt, who's your barber?
You're going to hate me, but I'm going to go for, not Christopher Reeves, but for Clark Kent for tripping on the fucking bearskin rug. Like a dumbass. That's a dumb move.
Blame Rick Lester for that.
No. We're not allowed to.
You're
not allowed to.
We're not as pretty as you.
That is true.
Some bitch. You just wink at the camera. Fuck
yeah.
He winked at the viewers at home. And all the ladies got wet.
Oh, there's panties just flying at the screen.
Mum night beware.
Brayden's Twitter stream just added 350 new followers.
No, I've hated that scene all my life.
Yeah, me too. Doesn't make sense.
All my life.
Thing.
No,
he should hover. In theory, if he trips, he should just hover.
Just fucking, I'm Superman.
Also, did you notice he starts in this one, he does it, we'll talk in the next one, but he stops flying in a straight line when Richard Donner stops directing and that he always runs off and kind of arcs out and then does like a...
Like,
180
bank.
In the air, yeah,
it
drifts
off.
Back. It's weird.
Yeah.
It really gives me the shit stuff.
Whereas...
Yeah, just boom, that way. I'm going to go fucking forwards, not backwards and around. You're not a plane, mate. You are a human that can do that.
You don't need a run-up.
Yeah, exactly. You just leave the orbit by jumping. Anyway.
Okay. So I've hated that scene all my life. Everything about that scene pisses me off, so...
Probably because he was directed to do that, so once again, it's a direction issue.
No, it's...
Yeah.
Or...
It does.
I'll give you that, but I'll also just hand that with Christopher Reeve also at this point...
He's tired and fucking annoyed.
No, he's... he's a big enough name and a strong enough actor and is the part of the, being a part of the franchise that he should be able to go, I want this scene rewritten. It doesn't make sense. Have a, there's got to be a better way for me to end up in this fire.
Lois Lane could have picked up a fucking picked up the fucking tongs, picked up a fucking hot coal and just thrown it at him.
Well, they kept joking around with that fire pit, the thing that pulls on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's say I think you're Superman.
Yeah.
Right? And I know it's worse than the fake bullet.
Pushing
but if he's sitting
bush.
There, no, he's sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting on getting to sit on the fireplace and his hand is over near the grill, and then she just goes, boom, pulls the thing, the flames go up, and he's like, no, don't look my hand, don't look my hand.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Same that scene makes... plays out the same way. 15 seconds, I've just made this feel better.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Doesn't that scene make more sense now?
It does. And for those people that have been like, well, he's playing the part and being stumbling, falling, Clark Kent. No, you're wrong. Stumbling Clark Kent, like, dropping something, you know, that's completely different than tripping
the fire
pit. Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
He has super strength and super balance. He never fall off balance because he just fucking floats.
Yeah.
So, plus, we're talking about a stuffed bearskin rug that's probably stuffed with, like, fucking stuffing.
What? You know, half a kilo.
Yeah, a kilo at most. If it's dense.
If it's dense. But I'm pretty sure it moved when he did his
and
fake
kick. And we are talking about Superman here.
Who is 6 foot two?
At 6 foot four, and according to the last film on Earth, Logic weighs 245 pounds.
So that's
245 pounds being tripped over by 1 pound.
That bearskin head would have been crushed by his foot before he would have
should have kicked off and just fucking gone through the wall.
That would have made more sense if he kicked
and it got flying out
and then hit the fucking fire pit and ash fucking spewed up in his face or fire spewed up in his face. Maybe that might have made sense.
Yep. Man, this film sucks. Alright, my Barbara, you ready? You guys ready? This one's a good one.
Yeah.
Lois Lane.
Ooh.
She's a fucking moron in this film. The other one, I'm joining the dots and working at this one, she's literally just fucking stupid. And then it gets to the end and she's just like, I went to your secrets and I'm all sad and shit. Why? You two can still... This film makes no sense as to why they can't be together. Because unlike Richard Donner one where you see that he has all these consequences, so much shit happens if he
and
just...
And that she's in danger.
Yeah, and that he's distracted. In this one, he's not really distracted by anything. He just goes there for the weekend. In fucking the other one, he's in Donna's one, he's missing for like 3 months.
Mm.
Bullshit!
Fair enough.
Bullshit! I'm angry! I'm fucking angry! Gave me Zod though, so it's okay. Let's move on to Cranston's before I fire.
Terrence Stamp,
okay.
Stamp. Just saying the name calms you down. Terrence Stamp.
Hey, have calmed me with some song now. I just love how calm he is at things now. Yeah. Oh, I hate the fact that this one he doesn't say Neil.
Oh.
When Clark strips himself of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't really. But comes out. In the Donna one, he does the very good. And he's all calm. And then he holds his hand out, but he says now. Neil, and then he puts his hand down and he actually does a motion with his hand to Neil.
Yeah.
And then Clark sits down and he says, very good, now swear your allegiance to Zod.
Yeah.
And this one he just goes, very good, now holds his hand out and is like, swear your allegiance to Zod. And it's like, what? You didn't even tell him to Neil. That's your whole fucking shtick, is Neil. You spent this whole film telling him to fucking Neil
and you didn't even say it. Wait. Terrence Stamp. It's kind of like your lullaby. Tessip?
So.
Sean Mullins, lullaby.
Lois Lane is a dead.
That was an Age of Ultron.
And Terrence Stamp deserves his Cranston from you, that's very fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brayden.
He's great.
Who are you giving a Cranston to?
I'm going to go with Christopher Reeve.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I would take Richard Donner, but I'm going to go Christopher Reeve. I still love him.
Yeah.
I don't blame
him. He is Superman. He is Superman. To me, he'll always be Superman. No matter who they cast, I'm like, that's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give it to Christopher Reeve as well. Because, as I said, even though I hated Clark Kent in this, I don't hate Christopher Reeve.
Oh, Christopher Reeve's great.
He's amazing Superman.
He is Superman. Mm-hmm. He gets Superman.
He's
like, anytime someone says
that's
Superman,
Kane.
Anytime someone says Superman, I instantly think of him, Christopher Reeve.
Me too.
No matter who, like, no matter how many movies they make.
Yeah.
As soon as someone says Superman, it's Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because
he fucking nails it.
He's Superman. Yep. All right. Now, my Cranston, this was a tough one. I thought about giving it to Zod. I gave it to Zod last week.
Absolutely.
I think the recording died before I got to say that. That was the part that got missed. But I gave it to Zod last week because Terrence Stamp is quite possibly the finest thing in this film. I thought about giving it to Christopher Reeve as well because he is Superman. He does somewhat deserve it on that level. But ultimately, I actually went for the dark horse and surprise in this because his scenes are somehow lessened in this, I didn't find him as annoying.
Oh, did we talk?
My award goes to
Lex Luthor.
Lex
Luthor.
Miss Tess Mugger! I'm Gene Hackman!
I shaved my moustache for this!
Actually, that's fair. I didn't even think about that.
He's much more bearable in this film.
Doesn't annoy me. That's why
He makes sense for him to be there because he's there just as the secondary pain in the ass to kind of spur Zod on, as opposed to Donna's one where he is there a bit more, and I get why he's there a bit more. It's Gene fucking Hackman. Which once again makes me think that in this one he probably was like, I shot my shit, fuck you, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just enjoyed it.
I think he annoys me less because this is just
far more than annoys me before. Alright. Well. Then, that brings us to the end of the film for that. So let's hand out our glove ratings.
Mm-hmm.
What are we giving this one? What do we give Superman to the Dick Lester theatrical cut?
One thumb
only
to the first knuckle.
Wow. Brain's not even giving it
Jets
cracker thumb.
I'm not giving it a glove rating.
No gloves?
No.
Wow, just a nil. So is this one going on to your worst films of the year, Paul?
Yes, absolutely. In fact,
yeah,
listening.
Yeah,
it's right behind your head.
Right behind your head. Yeah, I'm going to have to give it like a glove with puncture wounds through it. Right, because the hand's just gone through the glove.
So the useless forensic glove?
Yeah.
So is it going on your list?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's two votes. We need at least 75% from the Justice League to go on.
Oh, it deserves to be in contention for the worst film ever. I am happy to give it two gloves. Just because it has Christopher Reeve being Superman, which he's just being Superman, and it also has Zod and less annoying Lex Luthor, so it deserves some. It's not like dirt shit Sharknado, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
No, fuck you, Brady. Shut up. I'm not even no. Sharknado is shit. Oh, you are. Fuck you. Fucking idiot, Brayden. You're a fucking moron. Let me ask you, did you go into hospital and they fucking cut your skull open and they pulled the top off? So they took your brain out, just took a shit in there, and then put the brain back on and just stapled it back in place? Is that what happened? Oh, for fuck's sake. He is so... Just...
There are things that are happening that I'm not sure what's going to happen.
You're a fucking moron, Brayden. Shut up about your fucking Sharknado. You don't know what you're talking about. Your opinions are now invalid.
I'm going to go and watch it after this just to make me feel better.
Your opinions are as good as fucking Matt. And that says something.
Thanks.
You shut up too.
You're going to cop it next one.
Alright, well, has anybody got anything left to say for this episode, or should we call the first part of the doubleheader at night, call a quick break, for those of you watching live, for those of you on the podcast, doesn't matter, you can tune in whenever you like.
Yeah.
And we'll be back soon with episode 38, sound good to you guys?
Sounds good.
I don't want to talk about this movie anymore, so yes.
Alright, well then, let me just make sure my soundboard works. Hang on, I'll just turn it up a little bit. For those of you there at home who are enjoying that, let's try that again. I apologize for my technical difficulties, and here we go. Alright. Well, that wraps it up for this episode. If you're watching on Twitch, give us another 20 minutes to 30 minutes. We'll be back with some more fun for you if you're listening on the podcast. We thank you once again, and if you want to contact us tune in or listen or interact with us in any other ways, Braden, how can you do that?
Facebook.com/FromTheBackCavePodcast. Twitter.com/FromBackCave. I think I've got my Facebook one wrong. Anyways, I'm sure you've heard it before. Moving on. Twitch.tv/FromTheBackCavePodcast. Or email us at FromTheBackCave.podcast@gmail.com.
There you go.
Well done.
All right. Well, I've been your host, Red Thunder. Adam Girard. Joining me have been the pro, Matt Richens.
See you soon.
The Honey Badger Terrier Neil.
Goodbye.
And the Dad Knight Braden Ahern.
Bring back Donna.
Bring back Donna, indeed. And we will all see you very soon here live from the Batcave.
Are you dead?
Are you retired?
I'm the goddamn battery. It's just who I am.
It is. That movie sucked.
That movie was trash.
It was horrible.
It was fucking horrendous.
Pretty shithouse thing.
Like, I struggle with that movie, as I said. Like, my brain, when I think about Superman, it keeps sort of twitching out and going between Superman 2 and Superman 1.
Yeah, it's pretty
And hard. I constantly have to think, hang on, you know, that happened in Superman 2, that happened in Superman 1.
Ever since I watched the Donner Cut, my brain has totally replaced that film. So watching it, I was like, I really don't remember this. I really just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised I don't remember Lois throwing herself into the thing, but... Anyway, not a bad show, you guys. Matt, you didn't fuck up as much as usual, so I'm pretty impressed with that.